continuing from our session and our theme, which is the being one theme. Yes, it's got my font right for a change. And as I said to you last week and the week before it, this is the theme that God has given us for this year. And we're going to work this through in this first couple of months. And you know, as I journey in this whole being one theme and just walking through it, I must say the revelation that is starting to unfold in my own heart as to what this actually means is life-changing. I realize that in my own life, you know, I grew up in a going to a church that's not based on relationship but religion, and I've actually, in a sense, fallen to some into some of the way things are being done there without knowing it still. And I'm really trusting God for, as we work through this, that a shift will happen in our hearts. You know, and I must say this for us as a congregation. You know, on one side, I almost feel silly preaching about this because I see so much of it happening already. I see the unity. I see the love for one another. I see the passion that you have for one another, and it's awesome. But please understand, as we work through this, I'm trusting God for deeper revelation in our hearts so that when God adds those that He's sending, we will be able to accept them and love them and let them grow. That they can come into this unit and we can be truly one. So our theme scripture for this year is John 17:21, where Jesus prays, "I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe that you sent me." And last week I made the connection there with it, so that the reason for us being one is so that. Now this morning I wanna hone in a little bit more on the actual that they are one theme, you know, and what prevents us from actually being one and how we walk together and so on. And we started the marriage enrichment this week again, and we were speaking about covenant, and you know, even in the theme of just being one, there's a lot that just correlates for me when it comes to marriage and. We as the bride of Christ actually being one before God. And yeah, not to redo the whole marriage enrichment here this morning, but if you understand covenant, you understand one flesh ministry, there's really a lot that that correlates with this theme. So I cannot help, when I look at us as the bride of Christ, to think of it in that context. And like I said, I really trust that we will go deeper. So I want to read a scripture to you, Romans 12:17. And I said to you last week, you know, there's a couple of these scriptures or the chapters where we actually miss the fact that the theme in that chapter is about unity and us being one. And Romans 12 is one of those chapters which has a very big theme about unity. And verse 70 exactly says that. It says this: Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now, if we just take that scripture just like that, then there's a lot in there that I'm not sure, but it challenges me. But give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Now, again, just take that and practically apply it to your life. Give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. What if you don't like the guy? Do I still do what is honorable? How do I live in this thing? You know, because as we walk together, inevitably, and listen, I sit sometimes with people that are on congregations, other churches, and stuff happens, you know? And to do what is honorable in the sight of all then becomes slightly difficult for them because they just want to do what is right for them. Right? If possible, so far as it depends on you, not on the other person, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And then, of course, the other one, which is repay no one evil for evil. There is a couple of hard statements that are being made there. And unfortunately, Speaking of the church in general, we have not really applied this. Therefore, when those that are outside the church look at us, they see that, you know, a Christian will rob another Christian when they do business together. Even when I were at my own business, when a guy blatantly walks up to me and tells me he's a Christian and, you know, he does it God's way, then already I'm like, I don't want to hear it here, please. I want to see it in what you do. And it's unfortunately, and I'm really sad to say this, but it's generally been the guy that has blatantly up front told me that he's a Christian that were the scaly ones. But it's the ones that you can actually see in the business ethics and so on that you eventually ask the question, so tell me, do you serve God? And he goes, yes, why do you ask? But you can see the life. So unfortunately, we have been repaying evil with evil as children of God. So this scripture to me is really a slap in the face. And it determines so much in how we should react to one another. But the thing is, when we face the circumstances, that we normally don't think of those scriptures. Because the reality of the interaction is of such that, you know, it actually just squeezes out what's inside of you. There's that saying that says, you know, if you want to see what's in a person, just apply some pressure. As when the pressure happens, that that which is hidden suddenly comes out and you see what is hidden. It's not when all is good. It's when it's tough. But in this oneness that we are pursuing and Jesus praying that we will be one, there's a few things that actually prevents us or hinders us from doing this. And this morning I want to look at the principle of perception. The perceptions that we have towards one another. Now perception is this. I went and there's quite a few descriptions of what perception actually means, and I went and I found this one, which really spoke to me the most. Is perception is from the Latin, perceptio or percipio. I hope that's right. Is the organization, identification, interpretation of sensory information in order to represent and understand the environment. So in other words, we have different things coming through our senses, and we start interpreting that and we make sense of what is going on around us based on our perception. Not true. Or right. That's right. We all do that. We have certain perceptions of things that are going on around us. You know, think of it this way. And this has happened a couple of times with me, you know, where you meet someone for the first time. You don't know them from a bar of soap. But what do? We do the scan. I don't like you. Or is it just me? Okay, I hear some nervous laughter. Good stuff. Lola has been doing this a lot. Okay. I'm kidding. But isn't that true? You know, even in this church, the first time someone walks in there, or let's take Urban. The first time you walk into Urban, you go, I shouldn't be here. I think I'm going to leave. I'm sure when the boykies walked in there with their little hands that they use for toilet paper, you went, you said, you got some issues, dude. I'm not spending time with you. Greet me with the other hand. But where has that hand been? Can you please give a 2-hour report of where that hand has been first? I mean, isn't it true? And that little guy with the blue shirt, I'm sure you scanned him. And initially you form a perception of one another. And as we sit here, the truth is we have perceptions of one another. And we interact with one another based on those perceptions. But is that right? So I want to ask you a question. What do you see? Next. I ask the question. Right. What do you see? It's not a hard question. It's a vase. Okay, but do you see the vase or do you see the faces looking at one another? Who saw the faces? Okay, you get an increase. Who saw the vase? You're wrong. Okay. All right, the next one. What do you see? A granny. Young lady. Who sees the young lady? Okay, some of you might have seen this, so you're cheating. But who of you don't see the young lady? Come be honest. Do you see the young lady? Okay, I didn't see this young lady. I sat looking at this thing. I was like, where's this woman? But this is her chin. This is her chin. There's her eye. She's looking that way. And the other one is the granny looking down. I hope it doesn't mean that I'm getting old if I only saw the granny. All right. Any guys, next one. Which line is the longest? Okay, so the lines are actually the same, though they actually look like the one is shorter than that. And then look at this. This is how powerful the brain is. The tie, which I don't wear. But it's amazing how our brains can work and fill in stuff that is not there. But you know, just to illustrate that based on your perception, you will see something. You will see a longer line than a shorter line. You will see the Ofro versus the young lady. And you know, you will see the vase rather than the faces. And the way that we first encounter things really just plays the role in how we actually take life from there. So to illustrate this in a different way, I wanted to use a fabric, but this is slightly better because you can see it better. But this is Hessian sock, right? Or something similar. This is quite strong, correct? The farmers use this to put in a lot of seeds because they're not going to lose the seeds. So in actual fact, what we can take from this is the strength of the fibers that's been knitted here together determines the strength of the weight of stuff that it can actually carry stuff. And each fabric is actually made of different strands woven together. And either the thick it is or the closer it's been woven together, more it can carry and all the rest of it. But what happens if I start doing this? You know, you start pulling this thing apart, and what happens? It loses its strength. The reality is, in this fabric, this represents your and my life. One of this is your life. This is you. Okay? And we in the church are be woven into a fabric. And if you think about this, as this one string, your life, gets woven into it, it touches other lives. And the strength of this fabric is determined on the strength of the relationships that we have. So if I would take a scissor and I would say, but I don't like that relationship, and I knape them off, and I don't like that one, and I start doing that, what happens? Immediately it weakens. It makes us less powerful. It makes that we rather start walking in this rather than that. And if you think about this, how much can this accomplish versus this? You know, if you think about this, if I was a fisherman and I go with one line and I go fishing, how many fish can I catch? Depends on the amount of hooks I put on there. I've caught two fish at once. That was quite interesting. Suddenly it feels like a big fish, and when you pull them out, it's two little small ones. Was not very romantic. All that effort for two small little fish. That was not nice. But you see, if I'm a fisherman, and this is exactly why they do this, and they take a net and they go fishing, they can catch fish. More fish than I can probably catch in a year, Nas. I mean, even you on your boat with one rod, Okay, you've maybe got two. It's not going to do what this boyki does. The only reason why Nas does that is because when he catches something and the fish starts going, he can just go on this free ride. You know, it's just, he gets power gratis for niet. Keep going, boyki, keep going. I saw a video clip the other day when this guy caught something big and this thing tipped him, and I thought, I wonder what's on the other side of that line. Because I would now be concerned if I'm in the water with that, whatever I caught was. But the thing is, we as a church, how are we going to fish? Are we going to fish based on the relationships and the net that God has given us? Or are we going to fish as individuals? Do you understand that as we, as the fabric of God's power in this earth, starts moving through humanity as this net, as this fabric, where the relationships are so close to one another, how many fish can we actually catch? But it's when we start moving in our individual anointing, and I'm called to do this or that or the other, and I don't slot it into the fabric of what God is busy building, my impact is, can I dare to say foofy? You know what? If we explore this more, how soon do you think this venue is going to be too small? If we do this more, how long is it going to take? Look, there's a place for both. Because this doesn't go to your work. You do. But you are knit into this. And just as Jean now went to India, and we covered him in prayer, some of you gave finances for him to go, etc., we made it possible for him to reach people. And in actual fact, it wasn't just him that went. It was everybody that partnered with him. It was not just that team that went, but everybody that partnered with that team went in some way or the other. You know, and as the missions are coming up, the people are going to need finances to go. Not everybody's going to go. But how can you go, even though you don't go physically? You see, because we are the fabric. And the relationships that are there is going to take us forward. Now, getting back to perception. If we look at perception and how it touches this, how is it going to change the relationships that are happening in this? You see, I am being perceived by people in a certain way. I perceive certain people in a certain way. But whose responsibility is to make sure that I am being perceived the right way? You see, if I hear of people that are perceiving me in a certain way, and I know for a fact, but that's not who I am, do I just leave it? Or do I go and fix it? Whose responsibility is it to fix it? Is the question. You see, we easily blame one another. And I'm sure you've done this. Where we say, you know, so-and-so, or someone tells you so-and-so thinks this of you, and you go like, oh, psh. You know, what's that to me? I don't really care. The opinion doesn't make much difference to me as to who I am. But is that right? Maybe it's time that we take responsibility for the way that people perceive us. Even as the fabric of Christ, move through this earth, maybe it's time that we take responsibility how the world looks at us and we fix it. Amen? You see, the thing is, if people are perceiving me incorrectly, what is actually causing that? The fact that they're perceiving me incorrectly. What is doing that? If people are perceiving me correctly, then I think my prayer should be, God, build that more into my life, your character and the way that you want me to, so that, you know, so that others will see me correctly. So I can be a genuine person. But what do I do when those things aren't right? You see, in this world that we live in, there's one of two things, two principles. It is either right or it is wrong. And we see this in God's, what do you call it, equation. There's light and there's darkness. There is, what's the other one? Good and bad, etc. There's no gray area. So we have the truth and we have lies. So if we look at right and wrong, we it's easy to discern when you know the truth whether something is right and wrong. But then we get people's perception of what is right and wrong. On which place are you operating from? Are you operating from me, from a place where I understand what is right and what is wrong, so that when I look at someone's life, that I can actually use the right measure to determine what's happening there? Or is my measures determined on my perception of what it should be? And we can obviously only fix that by spending time with God. You see, beyond the actual condition of my heart, there's the perception of what's going on in my heart. You know, and sometimes, even for all of us, we actually are so hard on ourselves that we work from the place of where I perceive what is, you know, where my heart is at. Rather than actually truly looking at it and seeing, but God has done so much in my heart that I'm actually not that which I think I am anymore. And I need to change my perception of what is going on. You see, it's important for us to do what is right in God's eyes. Definitely. And not to be man pleasers, but we need to be, we need to also do what is right in those that are around us. You see, coming back to our scripture that we read, that harmony that is there. See, if I'm going to do what is right in God's eyes, then hopefully I will do what is right in other people's eyes. And I think, you know, in our world today, where we've become more about the individual, we actually started caring less what happens to what God wants to do with us. And I think it's time that we as the individuals start taking responsibility of how people actually see us, not just in this church, but out there. Romans 14, verse 13 says this: therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer. Sure. But rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of another person. Who is it speaking about here? The other person or me? So whose responsibility is it to do this? The other person's or me? You see where I'm going? Fixing the perception that someone has over you is not their responsibility to fix it, it's yours. And I'll get to how we do that just now. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, although we're going to do that today, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. What must we pursue? We must pursue those things that makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. Powerful scripture. Romans 12 again. 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. If that's as bad as that word sounds, then don't go there. All right, just stay away from that thing, man. It's haughty seems like... It's not a haughty, man. It's not just... Vitella. Nie haughty wees nie. Okay. No. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Moenie hoogmoedig wees nie. Assosieer met hulle wat 'n bietjie meer nederig is. Ooh. Ek het nie meer 'n kuif nie. So what does that make me? Am I now lowly? Ek gaan vir my 'n toupee kry. So ek kan be God. Okay, moving along swiftly. Right. Never be. Oh man, this scripture really is not a good one, because this, I don't like this version. It says like something about never, which means what? Never, which means like never, right? Oh man, never be wise in your own sight. Ouch. Repay no one evil for evil. Daar sal weer terug by daai ding. But give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. Daar sal weer. Why did I put this twice? I wonder. If possible. Daar sal weer. As so far as it depends on who. The other person. Yes, hallelujah. You see, there's a huge responsibility that lies in you and me on the health of the relationships that we are building here. Massive, massive, massive responsibility. I mean, if we go back to that previous scripture, therefore let us not pass judgment on one another any longer. Stop passing the judgment. Stop being the judge and jury and everything over other people's lives. We need to trust God that He is building it. He will work with that person. Okay? And I'm not, I mean, I really want to go through that old scripture, but and again, there are people in your life whose opinions you actually just wave off, where you say, that doesn't really matter to me. But it's the height of arrogance anytime we stop caring what the other people around us think. In our society, you know, once we talk about that, we put that on you wanting to be a man pleaser. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being concerned on how people perceive you and that how that actually reflects Christ. It's that perception that we need to fix. Because my life is the testimony of the one who saves me. And I need to make sure that that perception comes through. And if people see me at the rugby and they get a different perception, maybe it's the truth. Check I, Philistine, naked where he felt. I hope you're not in my congregation when that happens. But how do people see you when you're out there, when you're at work, when you know, when you're in a restaurant, when you sit at the rugby, when you, wherever you are? What perception are people forming over you, of you, when they look at you? And is that perception, does it reflect Christ in your life? And that's where we need to go. That is the one thing that we need to fix. It is time to take responsibility for that, at least in this congregation, if not anywhere else, of how we perceive one another. You see, that our testimony, the testimony that you and I have, is all we have. The testimony that you are living is the only thing that you have. If you are doing and walking in such a way that it messes up that testimony, it means that there are people who are not going to see Christ. You see, we as a church, as the ones who are supposed to be one, if we mess up this testimony, inevitably it will happen what has happened to this day, where people look at the church and go, Christian, I don't want to be one, thank you. You see, we are called to edify and build up one another. Not you. That is what we're supposed to do. So if I don't care what your perception is of me or what you think of me, and I just wave it off, do I actually build you up? Do I build up the body of Christ? Or have I become selfish in my thinking? thinking that it actually is just about me. And that little thing has crept into the church so much. And you can go and sit and just look at your time, for instance. What is more important? And you can be the judge of your own time. But there's a few things. Like I said to you in the beginning, that this will touch and change and transform your priorities, your way you think, what you do, everything. If you understand this and as you grow in this, it will transform everything that you do. And that's where it gets amazing. So we need to protect our testimony. We need to make sure that as we walk, that we edify those around us. So how do we do this? I'm glad you asked. Because in Philippians 2 verse 1 to 4 it says this. And we've read this, I think last week. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind. If we are going to be of the same mind, just think of this. You don't have two brains. Maybe some of you have. But if the one brain says to the other brain, we are not eating today. I'm glad I don't have that brain. But can you imagine the chaos? You see, so he's saying here that we need to be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. So you know what happens when in Scripture when they actually say something twice? Is maybe we should do that. Be that. It's like putting an exclamation mark, or like I do about 50 of them. Just get the message here. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Look at this. Doing nothing. It's one of those things again. Doing nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Ish. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Say to the person next to you, what's your interests? Does this not for you kick against everything that the world is teaching us today? I mean, it is so swimming upstream, it's not funny. And the fact is, this is 2,000 years old and still relevant. We are just the suckers that are not doing this. Morning, suckers. Woof, sucker. But you know what? To actually be selfish is awesome. There's just one person I have to convince to be selfish. And me and him talk a lot. I mean, I look in the mirror and I go, what's a selfish vandaag? And we'll do what we want. And I don't care about anything else. And it's scary because now I must look at myself in the mirror and go, do nothing from selfish ambition today, boyki. This is new level. In humility, count others to be more significant than yourself. And then I get that twitch. That each of you, yay, this thing dying, no. That each of you look not at his own interest, but also in the interest of others. Amen. You know, that scripture, old scripture says to me, it is not about me. It's not about just me in this congregation. It's not about just me and where God is on my way to. You know, in the church currently, we've made so much of your personal anointing, the giftings and the talents that God has placed on you, that we've literally missed the fact that God has got the oneness in mind. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying that we need to move away from the individual focus to the oneness. And that we need to guard against this. And the thing that we need to look at is this perception that we have of one another. So how do we become one of mind? How do we deal with perceptions? In Ephesians 4 verse 15 it says this, "Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ." You see, I need to speak the truth in love. If I see that you have the wrong perception of me, then I should have the maturity to walk across the room and go, "Actually, I like my hair. Is my hair? Or the lack of it? Nice. Dude." But what makes it that you actually don't like me? And how can I help the body of Christ to change this perspective that you have of me? You know, except for speaking to one another. You know how you change this thing? Quick. Just go fishing together. Or just have a braai. Yes, that's very spiritual. Comes from the Old Testament, sacrifice very often to God. Peter, ons het hom, broer. I believe in that, sacrificial offerings. I just don't have enough meat, otherwise I would sacrifice every day. Jesus, budget please. Amen. Okay, so if we speak the truth in love, it involves two things. Being willing to speak to correct the perception. That's what I said, walking across the room. So I must be willing to speak. And the second thing is having the correct spirit and motivation when I speak to someone. It's not that attitude of, "I'm going to sort him out, just gee my net a oomblikkie." None of that. The right heart, the motivation, that the fact that I'm concerned about the testimony that I am living and that we are living. And when I go and I speak about that, then things change. Can I just say this, that if you look at an army, if you want to destroy an army, quick, cut off the communications. Nobody knows what to do, and they'll even shoot at one another. Because they've got no communication. And that's exactly what the enemy does in our midst. He cuts off the communication between one another and then we go pear-shaped. All right, close off. In this life, we form perceptions so easily of one another. Do I have any perceptions of someone that I need to repent of or go and set it right? Which is what I think we need to do. Am I willing to live in harmony with all, with everyone? How am I willing to speak to that person, speak that truth? Or will I just keep on assuming that I have the right thing? Let us guard the unity of the faith with passion, each one of us. Let us not give the enemy any gap in our relationships. And let us love one another so that the world will know that we are His disciples. But this morning, saints, and with that I want to close, is it's time that we take responsibility for the way that we interact with people and the way that they perceive us.